Welcome to our service for Trinity Sunday. This week, the weather seems appropriately sunny as the long season of Trinity begins to usher in the long days of summer. Begins, as always, with the great tune Nicaea and the words, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee." As we begin our time of penitence, today's Kyries take a Trinitarian form. Father, you come to meet us when we return to you. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Jesus, you died on the cross for our sins. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Holy Spirit, you convince us of sin and righteousness. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have done what we ought not to have done and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for Trinity Sunday. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us, your servants, grace, by the confession of a true faith, to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity, and in the power of the divine majesty to worship the unity. Keep us steadfast in this faith, that we may evermore be defended from all adversities. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or his counsellor has instructed him? Who did he consult for his enlightenment? And who taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of the understanding? Even the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as dust in the scales. See, he takes up the isles like fine dust. Lebanon would not provide fuel enough, nor its animals enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint at to be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the very ending of the letter. Brothers and sisters, put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Deep within, refine as I choose to be.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. They were a troublesome lot in Corinth. The fundamental problem seems to have been that the church in Corinth was deeply divided. We heard in our reading today the ending of 2 Corinthians, and Paul signs off with a plea for unity in the church. Put things in order, he writes, agree with one another, live in peace, greet one another with a holy kiss. Quite literally, he's telling them to kiss and make up. But then he finishes with the words which are the reason why this reading has been set for today, words that have rung down the Christian centuries. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion or fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. There are two ways to look, or at least two ways to look, at how the Church arrived at the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. One of them relates to the idea of the unity or plurality of God, as expressed in Judeo-Christianity on the one hand, and paganism on the other. As most of you know, my main academic interest is in the work of Shakespeare, and especially in the tragedies which he wrote in the early Jacobean period, the first years of the reign of King James I of England and VI of Scotland. One of those plays is King Lear, probably my favourite Shakespeare play of all. And one of the key problems posed by King Lear is what we call the pagan shift. Those of you who know some Welsh may know that Lear is an historical figure closely associated with the English city of Leicester, in Welsh, Caer Lir, the seat or stronghold of Lear. We don't know much about him, but we do know that he reigned in a Christian era and that Shakespeare turns him into a pagan. When I was at school, we were told that this was so he could make the play more cruel, with lots of imagery of wild animals, tigers and bears and birds of prey. But in fact, the reason is probably more political than that. King James's great project in those early years was the attempt to bring about the union of England and Scotland. Shakespeare found in the story of King Lear a king who divides his kingdom into three parts and thus destroys its unity. But he made him also a pagan, a man who denies the unity of God. The greatest English theologian of Shakespeare's time, Richard Hooker, had written, "Our God is very oneness and mere unity." Well, not in King Lear, he isn't. Back in the New Testament, here are the Christians, originally Jews, of course, who, like all Jews, believe strongly in the oneness of God. They go out in mission, though, to the pagan world, where people believe there are many gods. And eventually they arrive at the idea that although there is only one God, his being can be expressed in three different persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a kind of halfway house, if you like, between monotheism and polytheism. Christians have been trying to work out the implications of that in all the Christian eras since then. The meaning of that word person remains difficult to explain. In recent decades, some theologians have promoted the idea of what is called a social trinity, as though the three persons of the trinity might have three separate wills and purposes, rather like three different people. When I studied theology, that would have been dismissed as tritheism. So you can see that the ancient tension between monotheism and polytheism can still raise its head today in Trinitarian theology. But the other way to look at the Trinity is less theoretical and more experiential. Looking at it through the eyes of those rough Galilean fishermen on whom last week we saw the Spirit fall on the day of Pentecost. Peter and Andrew, James and John and the rest. Something like the doctrine of the Trinity was needed to explain fully their experience of God. They'd been ordinary Jewish believers, so far as we can tell, believers in the one God of Judaism, whom Jesus had called Father. They were ordinary men, family men probably, at least some of them, who went about their daily business, attended synagogue on the Sabbath, and got on with life. Then a young man, the son of a carpenter from their own unfashionable northern region, set the world on its ear. For 2 or 3 years they found themselves travelling the country with him, listening, learning, working. Peter expresses it best at a point where Jesus asks them if they want to carry on or pack it in. Where else would we go? Their lives have been changed forever in the encounter with Jesus. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. That might have been enough for one lifetime. But then, on the day of Pentecost, they experienced God in a way which was apparently completely unknown to them up to then, and largely unknown elsewhere in Judaism. The Holy Spirit came upon them and drove them out into the public square and ultimately into the pagan world. They became, quite extraordinarily, men for the whole world, to whom the whole world would listen. If you go to Rome today and see the awesome size of St. Peter's Basilica, or stand beside the huge statue of St. Peter in the church of San Giovanni in Laterano, the idea that this whole great city celebrates the life of a simple Galilean fisherman and the carpenter's son he followed is something greater than the imagination can really grasp. The doctrine of the Trinity fundamentally exists to give expression to those three phases of the life of Peter and the rest of them. At first, ordinary worshippers of the Father, then for 3 short years, followers of the Son, then for the rest of their lives, driven by the wind of the Spirit, driving them out into the world at large. I normally end the address, as you know, with a simple Amen. But there's really only one possible ending today, the one that St. Paul uses in 2 Corinthians. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. And now, especially for this Trinity Sunday, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
When we cry to thee, for those
And so to our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. En tad ar hynnoet yn y nefaidd sancteddia dy enw, deled y dernas gwnela dy wychlys, megis yn y nef fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Deron ni heddiw ein bara benyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddau o'n unna ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, can ni seiddo ti o'r dernas a'r gathlu a'r gogoniant yn oes oesoedd. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Holy, holy, holy God, holy and strong one, holy and mighty one, holy and immortal one, holy three, holy one, be with us now and evermore. Be with us now and evermore. Amen. Holy Father, you have created all things and made us in your own image. We rejoice in the beauty of your creation. We come before you in wonder and awe. We seek to be sensitive to your mysteries. We pray for places where your earth is exploited or marred, where your creatures are abused or misused. We pray for all who lack freedom or are oppressed. Holy God, holy and strong one, hear our prayer. Christ, in glory, risen and ascended, you have redeemed us by your love. You give us life which is eternal. We pray to you for all who walk in darkness, all who cry out in pain, all who feel beyond hope. We remember all who are rejected and are outcasts in our world. Holy God, holy and strong one, hear our prayer. Spirit of God, breathing life into all, we give you thanks for our talents and abilities, for the powers of renewal and refreshment. We pray that we and all your church may reach out in love. We pray for bishops, priests and deacons, for the ministry of all your faithful people. We pray for the outreach and mission of your church. Holy God, holy and strong one, hear our prayer. Holy, blessed and glorious Trinity, one in three, three in one, bind us together in unity, bind us together in love. Bind us together with loved ones departed, bind us together with your saints in glory. Holy God, holy and strong one, hear our prayer. Amen. Thank you.
ein harglwydd Iesu Grist, a chariad diw, a chymdeithas yr ysbryd glân, a fyddo gyda chwi och. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all evermore. Amen.